Anyway, you all have been very gracious and welcoming to us as we came in. So it's a very warm and friendly church. So we're happy to be here and to meet you all. So forgive us if we can't remember all your names. Feel free to remind us. But today, today I'd like to discuss one of the most well-known and most quoted verses in the Bible. And that is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This verse has been printed or etched on anything you can possibly imagine. Keychains, t-shirts, cell phone cases, picture frames, and yes, skin. All those tattoos have Philippians 4:13 on those. Might be a little bit hard to see, a little bit of a small screen. This verse has been called the Superman verse by some. It's frequently referenced by athletes in the hopes of raising their athletic performance by referencing this verse if they have a Christian mindset. Let me try to do a little bit better job with my computer here. Sorry. This is Tim Tebow. He's a well-known Christian athlete. He would write the Philippians 4:13 on his eye black underneath his eyes. Steph Curry is a basketball player for the Golden State Warriors. He actually would incorporate the verse into the design of his signature shoe line. So it actually, in that circled area down there, has the verse down there in his basketball shoes. So with Christ's strength, we can do anything, right? We can ride a bike, we can climb a mountain, we can hurdle, we can box, we can pass our SAT test, we can get that job. People love to quote this empowering verse. I'm guessing it's extra popular this time of year with New Year's resolutions. People either trying to incorporate good habits, they might incorporate this verse, or if they're trying to get rid of bad habits, this can be an empowering verse for them. And it seems to be thought of by many as sort of like a genie in a bottle or some sort of lucky rabbit's foot that they can quote, and it helps them accomplish these things that they want to accomplish in their lives. You might recognize this face. Even some who are in the business of providing spiritual guidance, and I'll use that phrase loosely, seem to latch onto this interpretation. This is Joel Osteen, of course, the pastor of the largest evangelical megachurch in the United States. This is his commentary on 4:13 from his Today's Word devotional. Most people tend to magnify their limitations, focus on their shortcomings, but Scripture makes it plain, all things are possible to those who believe. That's right. It's possible to see your dreams fulfilled, overcome that obstacle, climb to new heights, embrace your destiny. You may not know how it will all take place. You may not have a plan. But all you have to know is that God said you can, you can. This is how many Christians today understand and interpret this verse. Empowerment from our Creator to fulfill their dreams, climb to new heights, and embrace their destinies. Is that what this verse means? Is that what the Apostle Paul intended? There's nothing wrong with goals and positive thinking, doing one's best, and of course, even praying for God's help with our physical goals and trials, of course. But what I'd like to make clear today is that Philippians 4:13 is misinterpreted and misused, which I think it contributes to how popular it is. It's not about God's enablement of our personal pursuits. Thankfully, its meaning is much more powerful and long-lasting. It's not an assurance of future success in a job, athletic career, relationship, or any other desire of one's life. So if that's not what it means, then what does this verse mean? Like any portion of the Bible, we need to reference the context and also the author of the verse or the passage is the one who determines what the meaning is and not us, the reader. So, of course, we know the book of Philippians was written by the Apostle Paul. And what was happening during this time in which he wrote the book of Philippians? He's imprisoned, right, by corrupt officials awaiting possible execution over false charges. So he's in this pagan, hostile society, you know, hostile toward Christianity. So it certainly doesn't really contribute to this accomplishment mentality, does it? So if we include the two verses before that, verses 11 and 12, let's read those real quick. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secrets of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. So he's writing a thank you note to the Philippian church for their generosity. But he wants them, to, in addition to wanting them to know that he's thankful for their support, but he doesn't want them to think that he wants them to know that he's doing fine before that. So he gives them a lesson in contentment. He's reassuring them that all he really needs is Christ, despite all the trials that he's going through. So we'll come back to contentment later, but let's break this verse down and dig a little deeper. We'll find that that reinforces what the context shows us. So let's talk about this word do. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It comes from the Strong's G2480, and it's iskuo, and it's related to iskus, similar word. And it doesn't have a meaning of an active verb. It's to have strength, power, to have health, to be able to do something, or to prevail is another translation of that. So several translations convey this. Some of these are, Christ gives me the strength to face anything. I have the strength to face all conditions by the power that Christ gives me. I have strength for all things in him that gives me power. And finally, for all things I have strength in Christ strengthening me. So what about all things? What about that phrase, all things? That comes from the Strong's G3956, if you want to reference that. It's this little word, pass or pos. And as you can see there below, the vast majority of times is translated as all things, or all, or every. So that seems pretty straightforward. All things seems to be fairly accurate and easily applied to pretty much any situation in our lives. I can see how someone might incorporate this into them trying to accomplish some sort of physical goal. Why don't we go back and look at those verses again? You notice here in these highlighted areas, we have in any and every circumstance in verse 12 and all things in verse 13. Both of those phrases have the same pos or pass in there. So he's explaining how he's been able to survive the good times and the bad times. And in verse 12, when Paul describes those times or circumstances, he uses a Greek idiom that translates in any and every circumstance. And that idiom includes two instances of that same word, pass or pos, that is also used for all things that he already mentioned in verse 12. So things was not intended to be a placeholder for our physical activities in verse 13. If Paul's referencing these same circumstances, I would think it'd be fair to use that same word circumstances for the word things in verse 13. Some have even suggested that inserting the word these between all and things in verse 13 would make it more clear. So how might we this verse read if we were to kind of retranslate this verse? We could say, I can be content in any circumstance because Christ gives me strength. I have the strength to handle all these things because of the help I have in Christ or from Christ. Or I have the ability to cope with life's ups and downs because Christ is really all I need. That's vastly different than the way people use it, right? I would submit that this is a lot more powerful and meaningful and long-lasting, even though it's not quite as, you know, we can't just throw it in there in our everyday activities. You know, when we talk about the reality of life and the trials that we go through, to have this power from God and his Spirit from Christ that we can endure these things and to that they won't bring us down than to achieve some earthly goal, I think is a better meaning. And not only that, isn't there a danger in misapplying this verse? What if we can't do all things? You know, if we use this verse and we go to get that job or we go to do that bench press or whatever it is that we're using this verse for, and what if we can't do it? Does that lead to us doubting God? Does that call into question God's goodness or his love? I think it's obvious that verse 13 is not meant by Paul to portray God as some sort of heavenly sugar daddy up in heaven writing blank checks for us to cash. So let's revisit the real point of this, and that is contentment in God in the midst of life's circumstances. So what is contentment? Does it involve laziness or some sort of apathy? Let's think about the Apostle Paul. Did he seem like he was lazy? He certainly wasn't lazy or satisfied with mediocrity. His zeal is what got him into this mess, right? You could argue that few people were more zealous against God prior to his conversion or zealous for God after his conversion. So does contentment involve not trying hard or not wanting something better? Absolutely not. God's word is full of instruction about working hard, getting out of debt, being smart with our money, being a profitable servant, and doing all to the glory of God. So contentment is a satisfaction in God, a trust in God, a valuing of God independent of our physical circumstances. But that's a huge challenge, isn't it? Both bad times and good times can come with some serious pitfalls or roadblocks. If things are going well and you don't have any current trials, if things aren't going well and you're hit with trials, it's easy to feel sorry for yourself, wonder where God is, maybe become even bitter and resentful, wonder why God's not answering your prayers. You can be led into coveting, envy. I've struggled with this more often than I'd like to admit. But Paul said that not only had he learned to be abased, but he also learned how to abound. It all almost sounds laughable. How hard is that to learn how to abound? I'd like to learn how to abound. But boy, once that pendulum swings back the other direction from the trials and then things are going well, isn't it kind of easy to let down in our prayers and not need God quite as much and you're kind of loving life and things are going well, maybe become a little bit complacent in our Bible study and our fasting because, hey, things are going great. And unfortunately, I can see that in myself as well. So I hit both sides of that pendulum. As soon as things become less bad, I can sense a let up. So it's easily as difficult to have deep contentment in God when things are going well. So how do we do this? That's the challenge, isn't it? You know, Paul didn't always see things this way. I don't know if you picked up on it, but in verses 11 and 12, Paul says that he learned this. He learned how to be content in all circumstances. So this required effort on Paul's part. In verse 12, he calls it a secret or a mystery. So I don't know if this is the secret, but if we turn back a chapter to Philippians 3, this might get us headed in the right direction. And consider what Paul says in verse 8, Philippians 3, verse 8. Indeed, I count everything as loss because the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. So if we value God and Jesus Christ above all things, and we lose everything else, we haven't lost what we value most, right? So I pray that we will all strive to learn to trust and treasure God above all, no matter what our individual circumstances are, so that we will all be able to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.